Okay. Welcome to New Realities. This is Alan Steinfeld, and each week on this program, I investigate the change that's happening in our culture, in our minds, around the world, media, and transformation. And tonight, I have a very special guest who's really dedicated his life to transformation and to change and to making a difference in the world. He's our very own Don Newsom from BBS Radio. Welcome to the show, Don.
Well, thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here. I appreciate that. Actually, it is a sincere pleasure to be here. I love you, Alan, and I love being on your show. Thank you.
Well, you know, I have wanted to interview you for a long time, and Don's sort of there because he runs the station, and there was someone who was supposed to be there, but they didn't show up. But I figured I would talk to Don because I really want to know, you're so dedicated to doing this. You're probably not making a huge amount of money, but you're putting BBS Radio out there 24 hours a day, three stations. And what drives you to do it? I mean, what's behind it? I really am interested in that.
Oh, man, I would have to say sheer madness. Well, I would have to say originally maybe that people who had a voice weren't offering it up because so many things were happening in the world that I couldn't believe. I didn't understand it. I couldn't believe it. I thought if humans were kind, and we were humankind, that this wouldn't be going on. So it blew my mind. It blew my mind so much.
Like what kind of stuff? But like what stuff was humankind not being kind about?
Well, when I heard about the senators all being paid off, they were paid off. This was years ago, and there was dozens of them, dozens in the 40s. They were paid off, and you heard about it in a paper where there was a sting operation. All of them got nailed, right, with all these bribes, and then the next day, nothing. I mean, nothing. It was eradicated like it never happened. And I was stunned. I was like, who could possibly do this? And so that got me going. I was so insulted by that, so very insulted that by that wake-up moment, just reading a paper and then later on trying to figure it out and not being able to find any information, it stunned me so much I started a blog. And that's where it all began.
So you started a blog because you were so outraged at the media itself. You wanted to do this alternative media outreach to the people of the world, really, right? I mean, but then you developed this theme to BBS, like it would be, what's your slogan there that, you know, it's on the front page, a homepage there.
If it's not mainstream.
You encourage. Yes, if it's not mainstream. How does that go?
Well, if it's not mainstream, it's on BBS Radio. And I think that's because mainstream lied and lied to us for so long that at that moment I recognized a big part of the lie. And, of course, the media was just something that really incensed me. And so once you start knowing that they lie to you, they really do, they deceive you, you stop following them, and you want to look for better venues, but there was none. When the internet was starting, blogs were starting, and this information was coming out, there wasn't a whole lot of good venues. So, I mean, they mounted quickly, but there wasn't a lot. And I wanted to be a voice. I wanted to be a good venue for good people that had heart. You know, I don't have to agree with all the people on our network. In fact, I don't agree with many. Come on, folks. I'm sure many of you think a lot of it's just, well, I'll leave it at that. But they all have heart. They really do. None of them have I ever caught lying to me. Now, do some of them out there say such an odd twist of things, let's say, that it just sounds preposterous, or it's exactly opposite as to what I believe. Yeah, that actually goes on the network, and I still have to think, are they following their heart? So that always hits me. That is my guide. That's my measure. If these people are following their heart and I believe they're sincere, hey, they got a radio program. I don't have to agree with them. In fact, most I don't. So it's really about heart.
I actually never actually heard you say that, and I appreciate you saying that because, I think people don't realize what a heart-centered person you are. And actually, I didn't realize. I know you were dedicated, but, just hearing you say that actually shifts a lot of what's behind this radio station for me. Not that I didn't think it was about that, but to be so consciously about that, I think carves a place in the American psyche that will ensure BBS its success on some level. That's just what I feel. And hearing you say that is very encouraging for me to be connected with this station and more dedicated, because I think it's great that you don't agree with everybody, but that you're looking for some essence that people can speak their truth and let the truth be known, because it must have been such a shock growing up in America, like we all have, most of us, and then realizing that the government is lying to us, that big business is lying to us, that big business doesn't really care about the consumer. They're just there to make money. It is a shock. And not everyone has the capacity or the ability to counterbalance that. They either go numb. But you said, no, I'm going to do something. I'm going to put this out there. So do you find that it's now making a difference on some level that you've done this station?
It's made a difference to me. That I think's key. It really has. By that I mean I've learned so much from it. And I now can see two different sides of the coin. One, of course, is the financial and all that implies, the greed, the unfeeling attitude or inhumanism of the financial rewards, and then the other side of it. And I've experienced both to some degree, and I've actually I don't harbor any ill or malevolent intent or ill will against the bankers and the people that created this solution, except those that are murderers. Of course, there are the few that are, and they're playing a wicked game with people's lives. It's tremendous. But most of them are.
But most people, most people are just sort of oblivious to the disasters they're creating. And in probably mainstream media, they're going for the advertising revenues and they're trying to be big. We're trying to be, in a way, mainstream. You'd love more people to listen and become, that people.
I never want to be so much. I guess the word mainstream is what. One of my big goals was to get rid of the papers. I wanted to see the papers fail. And I wanted to see the big alphabet soup news agencies go under. That was my goal, okay? That was one of my goals. As I started in, I was going, this is what I want to see. And I really shot for it. Little me, and I'm nobody. I'm just a little blogger like anybody else. But I figured in my thick skull I was going to make it a little attempt at this. Well, a big attempt, because that was really my life. And the newspapers have been going under. And maybe it's just a product of course, modernization and the new way things are moving, electronically speaking. But still, the papers went under. I saw a lot of local papers, bigger papers, go out of printing or get swallowed up, not getting the sales, changing their models. I've seen that with the big news agencies. But the more you see that, the more control they show. The more control they show over the news media. So ultimately, I think that mainstream media is just going to be meaningless. There won't be any mainstream media. It'll just be a media spectrum, maybe. You see what I mean?
Well, there still does seem to be a party line. There still seems to be a sort of, you know, ABC, NBC. I mean, they'll report the Iraqi war.
Yeah, I think that's going to live as long as the banks do, which might be permanently. I don't know.
Or maybe not.
What do you think? What do you think there? I mean, what do you think of this whole situation?
Well, it frustrates me that, let's say, the Iraqi war, they talk about insurgents, but they'll never go into detail like who these people are or what they even want. You know, they're just blowing up people because they're just violent, you know, angry people.
There's
a reason why people are doing this, political reasons, and those voices are not being heard. The other side of political arguments, if the media takes one side, you'll never hear why there's terrorism. I mean, the terrorism, I think all people, I've interviewed Marshall Rosenberg. He says all people have the same needs and all people have the same feelings. It's just they have different strategies for getting at those needs and feelings. So, you know, no one wants to be a murderer. They just have needs that have been ignored and suppressed. And we have to start to speak to the needs of who we think our enemies are. And let's see. I mean, that's sort of idealistic, but it's ignored by mainstream media once they say you're bad and this guy's good. I mean, that's what's frustrating about me. You never hear the whole picture. Do you know what I mean?
I do. I agree. Yes. Yes. You know, that's another thing, though, with a project like New Realities, you get to touch a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And so do I. So ultimately, this is all going to lead somewhere beautiful. I actually believe in a divine plan. Call me crazy. I'm not an atheist. Sorry, guys.
I'm with you.
Yeah, there's got to be either there is a divine plan going on here, folks, or I don't get it. I just don't get it. I mean, I can hear it, and I can study it, and I can, you know, think upon it. I just won't get it. So
no, I think a lot of the shows you attract, you know, they're including mine. They get a little out there, and they do deal with this idealistic divine plan. Actually, that is what they deal with. And
idealist, good word though. You're right.
But we are coming down to the home stretch. I think the polarities and consciousness are becoming really extreme. I mean, you couldn't get more extreme than like George Bush and Dick Cheney as the obvious, like, you know, other side of things that want to control the world. So, I mean, there was such a polarity and it's taking place. And I do think 2012 will be really a deciding factor in which way we go as a planet. I just think that's not an arbitrary date. And I think because that date is crucial, there'll be extra energy coming in. I think the Mayans were able to tune into a higher level and saw that when we line up with the center of the galaxy, we do get a kind of upliftment. And I think that will make a difference. I mean, that's another one of my idealism, but we're changing as a planet. I think the internet's changing. I'm just going to take this because that's the woman who's supposed to be on for a second. One second, Don. Why don't you answer that question? Hello?
Well,
no.
I think that...
But I'm sorry. No, so what I'm asking you is, you say, yes, either it's there has to be like a positive thing or it's just all so ridiculous, but... Let's take the positive side to this this destiny that the world is moving towards and see what could that greater future be. I mean, what does it look like? Let's say BBS even played a big part in that. What does the future look like for you with BBS being part of this beautiful, idealistic planet? Just throw it out there.
Sure. Aliens.
Really?
Yeah. Aliens, definitely. I think 2012 is really when they were saying to us in all the writings, ancient hieroglyphs, even in the Bible that was sequestered or absconded with. I would have to say, in large part, a lot of it, and that's why a lot of even our current technologies today with UFOs and propulsion systems, which show our free energy devices or show that, you know, there is some interactivity with off-worlders. I think that's, I really do. I thought this back in early 2000, like 2001, 2002, maybe earlier to that, when I moved to Texas, 12 years ago, I would say, I was thinking like that. And that somehow there was a homecoming, and 2012 was kind of the signaling of that process to begin anew, where teachers are going to be here. I don't know, teachers from probably just maybe even in our own solar system, but from off world. And the teachers will teach us to be a kinder, more, heartfelt being. Because right now, you know, it's like giving kids guns. You know, somebody's going to shoot their eye out. And
That's what we are. We're the bad kids.
We're not really bad. We're just kids.
Behaving ourselves.
And everybody's a kid here. No matter how old your soul is, I think once you get to Earthshan or Earthplane or whatever this plane is, I think everybody's an innocent kid in some respects. And, you know, kudos to all of us that can remain that way. I'm trying.
I think that's the position I take, that 2012 will be a time when aliens will no longer be like the thing you don't talk about, you think in common company. You know, it's a thing that people will no longer laugh at or ridicule.
Yeah.
And I think disclosure, in a way, is the key word. And that's already begun.
Disclosure,
so
right. That's a process and not a result.
I think that's a great point. Disclosure is a process, not a result. I'm actually going to write that down because we're in the process now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think to come on the scene like, hey, guys, we're here, that would be so traumatic for the consciousness of humanity. This is a big thing to be welcomed or to become a part of a galactic family, that it has to be done in slow, small steps so we take everyone with us or those that want to come, because the reality does change. And part of why I call this show New Realities is because I know when we really formally meet ETs, we are in a new heaven and a new earth. The world fundamentally changes. The psyche, the human psyche, how
our
we relate to reality. Of smallness, but our relationship to reality changes, you know?
Right. Smallness of mind. So, yeah, exactly. You grow in the heart and the mind with a revelation like that, especially an open revelation, because people can discuss it. What does that mean? How does it impact their lives? What technologies are possible? What are we capable of? Who is our great father? What does this mean? I mean, these are huge questions that only that understanding brings.
They have huge implications. I mean, those are the questions, but just the contemplation of those answers, you know, that shifts people fundamentally. That I'm writing about this, and that shows that reality is less solid and firm than the ground beneath your feet, and that is still going to traumatize many people, because like you saw in the media, they've hidden the fact. They've covered up this this true reality that they know exists. I mean, the government has crashed spaceships. I mean, they have UFO.
I'd say it's a fact. Right? If I were to give my opinion on it, I would go as far as say that's a fact. Yeah.
And not only that, every time there's a UFO sighting and there's an F-16 going after it, they're shooting video footage. I mean, they are tracking those things until they can no longer track them. And mm-hmm. there's huge files. I mean, when I was in England studying the crop circles 2 years ago, there was a big helicopter over the fields there checking out these crop circles for themselves. I mean, there's part of this secret cover-up, and part of the media is involved with that program, I feel.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and that's why I think BBS is another great outlet for people coming out and speaking the truth, especially about that.
You know, again, it as long as it's from the heart. I don't know if it's the truth. If they believe it's from the truth, they're coming from the heart. You know, a lot of them might even be channelers, which do they even think they're speaking the truth? I don't even know if they believe it's the truth. They just think it's from their heart and they're getting higher wisdom. So again, right. Boy, you know, we all have our truth and we all want to live it. But we have to learn to be honest. And being honest is something that takes truth to a personal level and also a very magnificent level because it involves all of us, I think. Anyways.
So what's your background? I mean, I like what you're saying here. I mean, what is your spiritual background? I mean, how did you get like to understand this idea of truth and following your heart? I mean, where did that come from?
Yeah, I had a good question. I have a twin.
I'm really
curious. You know, that in having a twin brother and growing up the way we did, promoted that. We had a very dynamic, rich family, great rich family history, of course. A lot to talk about. I don't want to, bore you. Believe me, there's just too much. But a great family, a unit, a mother and father who loved us, and were profound in showing us that. I mean, they might have had disagreements every now and again, but it was always done in a very respectful manner. They did everything in a respectful manner with their children and how we grew, and always taught us that, you know, we could be anything and do anything and follow your heart. My mother, big on that. Follow your heart. Doesn't matter what anybody tells you, follow your heart. Who cares how that person's dressed? Follow your heart. What does your heart tell you? And I think as you encourage somebody to grow up that way, they do. It's not even all that sophisticated. Wow. Mm-hmm. And I thank God they did.
And did you have, like, any spiritual teachers along the way? Like people you...
You know, no gurus along the way, no spiritual teachers, no thunderbolt. I haven't received any thunderbolt or lightning or anything that's really... changed me all in an instant. No. Douglas had a Kundalini experience. That I know. But I know.
But so, yeah, you and your brother, he's a twin, identical twin, right?
No, we're fraternal.
Oh, you're fraternal. But did you still have a sort of intuitive psychic?
Oh, when we were young, very. Yes, when we were young, very. We could pick 10 out of 12 numbers. If you were to go 0 to 20 and we were to go, you know, and I was to pick the number, we could literally get 8 out of 10, sometimes 9 out of 10. I could pick a number between 1 and 100. And I've done it at 1 in 1,000. We stunned ourselves and our folks doing that once in a car right out of the blue. And other strange things that we've thought and we it's just very strange. Just it's almost like a knowing hearing. Has that happened recently?
That's an unfoldment of the greater mind. I mean, it sounds like your minds were sort of linked in a way.
Kinda,
you shared a non-local consciousness, if you want to call it that.
Yeah, could be. I don't know. Maybe.
Can you tune into him wherever he is and get a sense of what
not anymore. We spent a lot of time apart, and I had family and kids, and you just tune differently. As you grow, you're tuning to other things, and sometimes what you had before doesn't work. So we're still trying to attune to each other again now that we've started working together a little more on current projects. In the past, we spent a little more time apart because, again, we had slightly different duties, different tasks, different jobs, and different likes and dislikes. And Doug's single, and I'm married, and so.
But he's still so much a part of you in a way, right? I mean, that's what's interesting about twins.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, the similarities are pretty incredible, a lot of them.
But he's not, I mean, I have brothers, but he's not like just, I'm just curious. He's just like not just another person. He's like sort of you over there. Is that true?
You're right on. Yeah. You know, when you think you came here with a twin, you got to think why. And if you get down to thinking that for a few seconds, you know you really screwed up somewhere along your lifeline, and now you're going to pay for it. No, but you get to see yourself rather quickly, don't you, with a twin brother?
Well, that's it. So it has a real strong psychological factor.
Oh, like, yes.
So, I mean, but it's like what you're saying reminds me of like a spiritual teacher in a way, but the reflection is what's teaching you. No,
I like that.
It's like you can't lie. You're talking about coming from the heart because, like, there's this reflection in your face. There, you know, if you lie or not, or you're not honest with yourself or something, there's this immediate mirror in the world who knows that about you, right? He knows.
Agreed. I totally agree. I don't lie. I can't. It's very difficult for me to lie, and I don't. I just, it's too difficult.
Right.
The guilt pangs will just eat me alive. And I've tried. I mean, when I was younger. Now I just live an honest life. I figure everybody can live on their sleeve. And if they don't like to be that, out there or open about themselves and who they are, then at least be completely honest with people. It might not, I don't know, get you everything you want when you want it, but eventually everybody's going to be a lot better off because of it, and you'll have grown immensely. I think...
Yeah, that's a great spiritual teaching. You're right. You're right. And I think, you know, I appreciate that as a spiritual perspective by just remaining true to oneself. And what, you know, the truth is, that's enough to change the world. And that was what was so disappointing about the media when you first realized they weren't telling the truth. You know, that I can see how it all has come in a way full circle to who you are now and what you're doing with this station.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yes. Thank you. And I love it. I get to work with people like you that are on the cutting edge of thought and of feeling. And really of an understanding consciousness and how we interact and what all that's going to mean as we propel ourselves into this new age, which I think is going to be one of enlightenment and love. I believe it. It might take a while getting there, and I almost hope things keep getting worse and worse and worse so we can really have a good bloody look at ourselves. Because, right?
Well, that's what some people say. Yeah, it needs to get worse.
It's going to. I said that with a little happenstance, maybe. I mean, I don't want to see things get worse. But, I mean,
no,
what
do
we have
do
to, I mean, what, when are we going to have a long enough, hard enough look at ourselves where we say, you know, we're human beings. And, you know, at this particular, I think I'm going to have to run only because Station 1's coming off and... I still don't know how to do two things at once. Pardon me. Yeah, let me bring in the Doug.
Okay.
Doug Newsom, and I'll put him right in. And thank you. It was a pleasure. Love your audience. Hey, New Realities, awesome. Awesome program, awesome newsletter, awesome website, awesome man. I love you. Here's Doug.
Thanks, Don. I appreciate being here. I really do, and the opportunity. Thank you. I really do appreciate what BBS is and why they're here and what they stand for, which is a whole alternative perspective that's not afraid to take a stand on metaphysics, healing, paranormal, UFOs, sex and relationships. I mean, all the things we'd like to know about in the mainstream, there's a, this whole station, I mean, two stations, really, BBS. So that was Don Newsom who founded, who had the vision to create this kind of alternative media. And we heard really about why he did this and his, I think, his spiritual inspiration from being a twin. I think that's part of it, just trying to do the right thing in the world. His twin brother, Doug Newsom. Oh, from your sister? What do you mean, Doug?
I'm joking.
You sound like, but you know, I was just talking to
Can
Don.
Can anybody tell the difference between my voice and his voice? Is there a difference?
You know, his, there is a little difference. His is a little more practiced in speaking out over the radio.
Ah.
You know, you sound alike, but you're maybe more like a regular sounding sort of person.
Good. I could blend in with the crowd.
No, but you could, but you know, Don was saying how, like, when you were growing up as twins, there was this really psychic, intuitive connection, and you must have felt that too, right? Growing up more.
You know, I felt feelings, and I don't know what psychic is. What's psychic? Everybody tells me what psychic is.
Well, you shared a common kind of sense of consciousness.
I mean, it's almost like you're a part of them, and that you can feel an energy. Maybe you just are depressed for no reason, and then it hits you out of the blue. Something around me is wrong, you know, but.
Right.
Something like that will occur with things that are probably, sharing a lot of parts.
But that's what psychics do. Psychics now can actually, you know, they don't have to be just sharing parts. They're somehow able to tune their consciousness to other people so they can also pick on those up on those same feelings, you know?
Sure, I believe all that. I believe you can train yourself to do it. The more you practice sitting there gazing at somebody and trying to allow your first impressions to give you impressions and analyze that person, the better you'll actually get over time. I mean, even in the military, I'm sure that CIA and other people are trained in such a way as to, you know, once you immerse yourself in that understanding, you become better and better capable of discerning a person, even in voice timbre, even in the caliber of their voice. I need that voice, if that timbre, you know, so I can calibrate to that person and understand that person, whether it even be your physical shape. You're tuning into something.
Body
that way, right?
Yeah. Well, people say because you kind of take – there's a whole understanding of field and physics, and there's a sort of field dynamics that happens where you're kind of duplicating the same field of energy, and then because you're duplicating, everything else comes along with that. Have you heard about that? You know?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like things emanate a field, like transformers, I think, emanate fields around them.
Really?
If you could duplicate the field through imitating the voice or body language, then you could pick up on the thoughts that are coming into the field.
You know, I don't know. I believe that to some level, I believe that because it makes kind of a sense to me. But I experienced something that didn't require me, you know, having to. No, that's good. Having to go out there and really exercise some sort of a will or an understanding for it to have occurred. It just plain occurred, and then you're interlinked with everything. And then at that point, you just know that, you know, everything is at some point at a higher level more connected. But beyond that information, and you know, you go through understandings of your personality and so forth, but it doesn't give me answers to whether consciousness resides on a band that we can read and that we can or manipulate on a mental level. I believe all that. I do. But I just don't think science and everything is strong enough to really embrace that, which is kind of sad. But it's happened in my life, but only happened for a short period of time under extraordinary circumstances, and it's not something that I continue to be gifted with, some of the things that occurred to me.
Right, but it did happen, and that was proof that there is this somehow higher connection for, well, you and Don, but for all of us, I think, you know? that was proof enough for me anyway that there's something else going on here that science can't explain, but yet is natural to the human being. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that's just, I mean, it's that kind of just, I mean, my own personal experiences of tuning in psychically, let's say, whatever you want to call it, shows me that we need to start to investigate these ideas and not just put it out there as superstition or make fun of it. But there's needs to be a science that includes a spiritual level. And that's what I've been trying to do on this radio program, New Realities, you know.
I wish I could take the experience and put it into words that everybody can in some way take into themselves and know that that same thing can occur and that they can, you know, experience, because I don't know.
Well, what was your experience? Can you share your brief experience?
It seems kind of strange, but it's one you just don't normally hear about. It's not a near-death experience, not a knock over the head. I was stepping out of my shower with my towel. Yeah. I can still remember, and something hit me, but it didn't hit me. It just immediately was a light bolt as big as, you know, a person is, driving through you from top to bottom. And instantly you recognize who you are, all the all the moments in your life, all the people in your vites, and total awareness of your true childlike status among so much beauty. And you forgive yourself instantly. Everything is experienced. And then you move into a golden sphere. It's almost incredible. There's no time. There's no space. Everything's like superhuman. But you don't get out. The connection is so unbelievable to you. You now feel infinite emotion.
Wow.
yet with perfect clarity. It's almost impossible to explain. So,
well, that's a Kundalini experience. I mean, it doesn't matter what you call it, but people have. And then how long did that last for you?
Six months.
Sense of awareness.
6 months. For the first few months, I was seeing energy beings. And for the first few months, I was seeing energy beings. I was doing things that were just, I mean, they showed me things in my head that are impossible to explain. And I now know why the Rain Man, let's say, can see 1,000 toothpicks and count them all at once. By the way, everybody's brain's capable of this. It's like instant fast. Your brain knows the pattern, so it doesn't need to move. It just does it. Like all your lights go in at once. All the neurons flare at once, and they get the point. Rather than having going to one part of your brain to the other part of your brain to the other part of your brain. There's things that you're shown that are capable within the human mind that are crazy. A remote viewing, I could tell you experience of how unique that was to me, just looking into a black hole with purple energy swirling around and going to the end of it. And, you know, it's weird because when you move in that direction, you can almost move in an inversion of that direction. You can almost say you want to lose your identity so much so you fold up into yourself. But when you go into those extremities of the mind or peaceful states of being or feelings, even vibrations, you might want to call them vibrations, you sense and feel and understand and explore different things. And I was shown a lot of different things, and each one would just made me cry. I remember one day getting hit with light beams in the head constantly from all around my body until I could start feeling an auric field surround my body until I could actually just almost instantly manifest that. Even in a dark room, it felt like it was totally sitting in light. And that's a simple thing, and one of the few things that comes almost initially. What else? Energy beings. Everybody says they've seen ghosts. I know what they look like. They freaking look like a gasoline vapor that isn't made up of kind of like sludging, a smearing kind of a look to it, but more like trillions of little dots that make up the spectrum of that rainbow that's carrying that personification there of energy. And it's the things that they showed me
that's
were crazy.
Incredible. No, thank you for sharing that. So that lasted six. How long ago was that experience?
August of 85.
And so it lasted for 6 months. And did you do, was something happen to shift you out of that state? I mean, what went on?
I'm moving. A lot of stress. A lot of stress.
So you, a lot of stress suddenly brought you back to
well,
the world.
From that point on, now you realize everything you told was probably wrong because people are like spiders. They're unaware. They might be good or bad or whatever way you want to judge them. Don't. But they're spiders nonetheless. And in the scheme of things, we're just so connected, you can't deny that. And yet we think we're arrogant enough to know all of our connections. And, you know, I feel that understanding, that simple understanding that we're all connected, it leaves a mark that changes you, and it changes the way you perceive others. It changes the way you experience energy from others. And all those things lead to dramatic shifts in how you relate to life and people. You might turn into a hermit. You might... I think I've got another show to get on. I'm sorry about that.
Oh, I really enjoyed that. Thanks.
I'm going to let you go right now and let you close off, but I love you, and I love your listeners. Thank you.
Oh, and that was a great experience to share, and that's the kind of stuff I like to share here on New Realities. I welcome people's Kundalini experiences, which that was a classic experience of awakening, and for some people it lasts their whole life, and maybe we'll get Doug back on the show to talk about that. This is Alan Steinfeld for New Realities. Next week, I have some really interesting guests talking about transformation through 2012. The main guest will be Deborah Gusti, who runs the Health and Harmony Festival in California. But thanks for listening. If you want to reach me, email me at newrealities@earthlink.net and check my website, newrealities.com, for all the new realities you would like. Thank you for listening.